This is Tuesday, February 17th, 2015. The race for World First is in the home stretch. The Hunting Party podcast answers the most important hunter question ever, and I'll give you some AAA advice from a mediocre player. This is Realm Maintenance number 133.
When the servers go down, we'll tell you what's up. You're listening to Realm Maintenance.
Ladies and gentlemen, marksmen and beastmasters, podcasters and podcastees, welcome to Realm Maintenance. I'm Rowan, thanks as always for listening. Before we get started, I wanted to give a quick shout out to the folks at Open Raid who are celebrating their third year anniversary. Give them a follow on Twitter at Open Raid if you're looking for a Heroes of the Storm beta key. You can also check out their recent news article at openraid.org for more details about their three-year birthday celebration. Right now, let's get the show rolling with what I feel is one of the best forum posts of all time. Here is the rolling restart. It's pretty rare that a forum post that most people would simply call a wall of text gets highlighted on MMO Champion. That happened last Friday when a post on the official WoW forums by a player named Torvald was so well written it even got noticed by community manager Bashyok. He said, "I think it's insightful, presents some very cogent theories on what the deeper cause for people's feedback could be. I feel smarter for having read it, and so thank you." So, Gul'dan, what was this post about after all? Okay. To be more specific, the post was titled Chores, Feeling Forced, and Nothing to Do. Now, at first, that may sound like your typical complainy QQ forum post, but I highly encourage you to read this one from start to finish if you have a few minutes in your day. It's definitely a long post, and it kind of goes deep into game development theory and such, but I also felt smarter for having read it. What Torvald basically did in the post is explain that even though there are technically a lot of things to do in the game, there are good reasons that others don't necessarily perceive it that way. Of course, a lot of this has to do with garrisons, and part of me wishes this post had been around in time for Alt and I to talk about on extended maintenance, rather than just say, "Hey, I don't like this," or "Blizzard, you suck, fix this." What this post did was identify what people are talking about and explained why they felt there was nothing to do in WoW. It wasn't really a matter of right or wrong, just perception. He did make a lot of great points. Often I get into a debate with different people on Twitter or even in guild chat or such about whether there is stuff to do in-game or not, and this post actually kind of helped me see the other side's point of view. Now, I feel that there's a lot to do in-game. Other people don't necessarily feel that way. And lately, actually, I've been finding myself get to the point where I know there's a lot to do in-game, but I'm having trouble finding the motivation to do all of this stuff. And I've kind of wondered why that's been, and this post kind of really summed it up, and it made me realize, hey, yeah, this is how I feel. Now, the reason why I'm just bringing up this post's existence today is twofold. Whether you're on one side of the fence or the other about how much content there is in WoW right now, or whether there's too much or not enough, or whether it's the kind of content you like or not, this post will help you see the bigger picture of the issue. And the second reason I wanted to bring this post up is, in my opinion, it is the absolute perfect example of what posts that critique WoW or any other game should be like. The tone isn't too whiny, it's actually not really whiny at all, it's well thought out, analytical. And while you can still argue that, you know, a good portion of what Torvald says is just opinion, I truly feel like this is something many people can relate to. If more posts were this thorough, constructive, and covered more than just one point of view, I feel it'd make a huge difference. Now, if you've ever thought about writing about an issue in game, I'd also suggest giving Torvald's post a read. It might help you construct a better post that's more constructive and thought out, and something that, hey, who knows who'd end up reading it. In the meantime, we'll get to reading the news that happened in the past week for WoW and other Blizzard games, and we'll wrap it up all very quickly as we go around the world of Warcraft, and more, in 80 seconds. The race for Mythic Blackrock Foundry World First Glory has been underway for a week, and only Mythic Blackhand remains unbeaten as of this recording. Right now, Method and Paragon are tied with 9 out of the 10 Mythic raid encounters defeated. The first wing of Blackrock Foundry is now available at Raid Finder difficulty. Players will need a minimum item level of 635 to queue up for the first 3 bosses. The latest build of the 6.1 client on the public test realm has been marked as a release candidate, and the character copy feature is no longer enabled on the PTR. Although there were only rolling restarts scheduled for this week, players should expect 6.1 to go live in the near future. This year's Lunar Festival runs from now until March 2nd. Not much was added to this year's world event, but engineers can now purchase schematics to create Everlasting Faction fireworks for only 25 coins of Ancestry. Last week, Blizzard reported that $1.9 million was raised for the American Red Cross through sales of the Argy companion pet this past December. There's been no word yet on whether the pet will become giftable in the near future. And finally, according to the recently released schedule for PAX East, Blizzard will be making announcements for Heroes of the Storm, Hearthstone, and Overwatch. The Blizzard PAX East panel takes place on Friday, March 6th at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. And that's your news. The Hunting Party podcast joins me after the overly dramatic news from Hunts the Wind.
Town crier turnover leads to succession scramble. It's the overly dramatic news. I'm Hunts the Wind. The town criers of Stormwind have a long history of being the primary source of news and gossip in the Alliance capital. Many criers have become celebrities in their own right, and none so much so as Jonas Stewart, whose witty repartee and insightful analysis have set him head and shoulders above the rest of the town criers guild. So when Stewart suddenly announced earlier this week that he was stepping down from his soapbox, the guild scrambled to come up with a replacement. There had been two heir apparents, but the druid Stefan Colbert left the guild 2 months ago to become the main tank for a late-night raiding guild, and the worgen warrior Sir Oliver John met an unfortunate fate a fortnight ago in Frostfire Ridge's time-warped tower, becoming trapped in a time loop where it was perpetually last week. With these two heirs no longer so readily apparent, the Crier Guild today announced a totally unexpected choice to take Stuart's soapbox, a Horde warlock named Ro. The Guild's press release noted that the Blood Elf had extensive speaking experience, and the Criers were confident that Ro Gain would solve the problem of heir loss. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
It was over a year ago that episode 200 of the Hunting Party podcast was recorded. At the time, many thought that was the end of the journey for the longest-running class-specific WoW podcast. That wouldn't end up being the case, however, as a group of familiar and new voices collaborated to bring about the show's continuation. I personally have only listened to a handful of shows because, well, it's not the Warlock Party podcast and I don't have a hunter, which may get me in trouble anyhow. But that's why I have four of the co-hosts here tonight to talk a little bit about the show's rebirth and the current state of the show and the Hunter class itself. So Darkbrew, Artemis House, Solar Flare, and Delirium, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi.
Hey, hello.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
It's awesome having you on, and it's great to see that the Hunting Party podcast is continuing on. The episode 200 was one of the few podcasts that I actually... caught live, and that was a pretty special event. It was like over 4 hours long. Crypto showed up, all sorts of people showed up, and that was really quite a moment. And then we went months and months without nothing happening. Solar Flare, you decided to start up a little thing called Cloak and Quiver.
Yeah, a little ditty, you know, to pass the time. Something, it's more of a personal project than it was anything else. I'm just glad it kind of got absorbed into everything, to be honest.
Absolutely. And well, Artemis Howell, as far as I'm aware, if I've done my research correctly, you kind of took the reign of the Warcraft Hunters Union website. And I was wondering if you could also talk a little bit about just how everyone got brought together for this new version of the Hunting Party podcast.
Certainly. So Warcraft Hunters Union, of course, was brought back together because Brian is still around in the community. He was more or less inactive because of how his real life is shaped out. And we've been contacted over Facebook for a couple of times. He runs the WHU group on Facebook, so a lot of people are still huddled there talking about Hunter stuff.
And for those who don't know who Brian is...
Sorry, that is Grandpappy Frostheim.
There you go.
The original Warcraft Hunter Union creator and the grandfather of this podcast.
Right.
Not our podcast, but our podcast. So he... while he retired, he asked me to personally pick up the reins after starting up Team Hunter, which is a group of all Hunter raids that we like to go around and conquer current raid content with, well, you guessed it, a pack of Hunters. And while we brought back up the website, we also wanted to bring back the podcast. So we just kind of gathered together some of the brighter minds and bigger voices of the Hunter community and started it back up together.
Sounds good. And Dark Brew, you were part of the former version of the Hunting Party podcast. And I was wondering, just really quick, how do you feel this incarnation of the show is similar or different to when the first 200 episodes occurred?
Yeah, I love this incarnation of the show. I think we've got, you know, it's a bigger cast of people. And if nothing else, everybody seems to be available on a regular basis. But one of the things I really like about the new voices is we've got a lot of people that are participating in the high-end raid aspects of the game. So, I mean, they're really doing the bleeding edge content in a competitive way. And we haven't had that on the show before. We've always had to go on out and get guests like Roger Brown from Method and bring those guys on to have that kind of insight into the show. And I mean, even though we're hunter focused, I mean, you know, PvP, talking about PvP was always a joke on the show because we rarely talked about PvP. And that seems to hold true even now this time around. So it's always been raiding and hunters and getting into the theory crafting aspect. So that really hasn't changed a whole lot. But we just have a lot more expertise on staff now than what we did before in terms of overall experience. And that's the one thing I really like about this group.
And it feels like, now, of course, I don't listen to every episode, but it feels like there's less drinking.
It's a little early to drink.
You should, when we record, it's about 7 in the morning, man. I don't think anyone's
this is a good point.
Jager bombs for that.
There's a lot of coffee drinking going on. You know, it's, people are more hungover, I suspect. Not some people, not me, but I'm too old for that now. But than actual drinking going on.
Absolutely. I can totally understand that.
Speak for yourselves. 7 a.m. is no problem for me.
Now, besides the four of you, I know that you have guests on from time to time, and I feel like I'm missing a member or two that's not here tonight. I was just wondering if you'd talk a little bit about them, whichever one of you wants to speak up about that.
Yeah, so we're missing Bendak, our hunter columnist. He wrote for WoW Insider, and now he's writing for Blizzard Watch. And
yes.
He's got the new article series called, is it Locked and Loaded, right? Or is it Lock and Loaded?
I think it's Locked and Loaded.
Yeah.
Locked.
I think it's Locked and Loaded.
Let me go verify that.
and yeah, he's just a really, really, really good writer. He's very well spoken, and he always has something to say about hunters. And it doesn't have to be like the most cutting edge raiding. It could be about pets or about transmog or just about the nostalgia from raiding back in, you know, Molten Core and early vanilla and stuff like that. So if you enjoy just like reading really cool articles, it doesn't even necessarily have to capture your interest as a hunter. They're always really well put together. That's over on Blizzard Watch now. And I think he's picking up quite, pretty big momentum with that project over there too. So it's kind of a bummer we couldn't have him on the show, but he's like awesome. Yeah, Bendak's really good.
The show and the Warcraft Hunters Union really have been a staple of not just the hunter community, but the larger WoW community for years in a way that I feel isn't matched by communities focused on other classes. There are a couple classes that come close. But Delirium, why do you feel that the hunter community in WoW is just that strong and that big a deal?
It's not exactly that it's the hunter community, but just the class in general is by far the premier class of World of Warcraft. I think everyone's
no
pretty
bias
much
whatsoever.
In agreement. but yeah, I'm a newcomer to the community. I haven't been around as long as Bendak or Dark Brew or Solar. I didn't start playing until late Wrath, and even then it was very casually. So yeah, maybe the other guys are more fit to answer what makes the community so amazing.
You're right. It doesn't come close, like not even. And I am safe and confident to say that there is no other community out there that is better than the Hunter community. We had this crazy big meetup at BlizzCon. We have people from all over the world that speak, you know, multiple languages. We're actually working on getting Brazilian, right? Or is it Portuguese? Spanish.
Spanish.
Spanish. Just Spanish. Okay. Yeah. Spanish version of some of our guides actually up and running for our Latin player base. And, I mean, we're really big, and it's awesome to be a part of.
I think it really all started with Big Red Kitty and what he did with his blog. And I mean, I think blogging about, you know, MMOs and World of Warcraft was a relatively new thing when he started. I mean, this goes back to all the way to Burning Crusade, and he was just so immensely popular and made people feel proud to play a hunter. He made it fun to play a hunter, and made, he made talking about hunters a lot of fun. And then when Frosttime came onto the scene, he really started to galvanize the community and start the whole Warcraft Hunters Union Guild and planning in-game events, you know, doing those raids on Thunder Bluff and trying to, you know, he started initially the all-hunter raids. So that's what was great about when Artemis, you know, you came onto the scene because you continued that, you know, with the Team Hunter, as you mentioned earlier in the show, and then was able to, which I think made you an excellent candidate to take over the Warcraft Hunters Union. But it's just a fun class, and I think it's probably statistically the most popular class in World of Warcraft right now, and people just love to play it, and they love to talk about it, and it's just lasted. And I think it's going to be this way as long as World of Warcraft is around.
What's one change you would make to Hunters right now, if anything?
I think I would like to see the level 100 talent, was it exotic munitions, get a little bit of love and be actually viable in raid situations. I think there's been sort of a de-emphasis on pets a little bit, and a big part of that's Lone Wolf. Another part of it is they changed pets so they could bring all of this utility, all these raids, buffs and debuffs, and then we have these flexible raid sizes, and so the utility that they bring becomes largely redundant.
Mm-hmm.
And then with that's Lone Wolf, you've got a lot of hunters not even using pets. So I would just like to see, you know, maybe exotic munitions, if there's a way to tweak that to make it on par. So maybe we would choose that for hunters that really like to play with their pets. And it's just something to change that and make some more emphasis back on the pets. So that's what I'd like to see.
I am done with RNG. I want to see, I both survival and BM to a huge extent right now are completely reliant on good RNG in your opener to have any sort of, you know, proper DPS. And marksmanship really is too, although to a lower extent. I'm fine with RNG, you know, making your DPS plus or minus 5%, okay. Plus or minus 10%, that's kind of weird, but I can deal with it. But when it's 20, 30% from RNG, it's just not fun. And I want a way to really capitalize on playing correctly and playing well.
I would have to capitalize on exotic ammo as well, because I really feel like the focus shot and Lone Wolf work really well, but I feel like there's no real place for exotic ammo, and I really would like something to also be bumped to it to make it playable.
I guess while we're on the topic of talents, I'll take two. I'll do exhilaration first. It's really bad. It's part of our survival talent choices, not the spec, but the talent choices. And it's coupled with Animal Bond and Iron Hawk. And then there's Exhilaration, which is a 2-minute cooldown. And it's a 22, soon to be 30% self-heal on a 2-minute cooldown. It's totally bunk. No one ever picks it. It's like the worst talent to choose in the entire tree.
Would you pick it if it was on a 1-minute cooldown?
I'd have to see. If it was a 30% heal on a 1-minute cooldown, I would have to see about that.
Playing a Destruction Warlock, this kind of hits a sore spot for me from my personal experience, because one thing they did in Warlords of Draenor, of course, is they did ability pruning, and they also took away a lot of mobility tools for ranged DPS specs that were not hunters, like Killjade and Sacrifice getting nerfed to the ground. I was wondering, with the removal of all that stuff, hunters now kind of have this niche where they are the most mobile range DPS, and of course, as such, they're kind of being turned to often perform specific tasks in certain raid encounters because they can still DPS while doing them. Bracken Spore is a great example of this. I know this is kind of a loaded question. I already know Solar's answer, but do you think that the pendulum has swung too far in the other direction as far as limiting range DPS while moving, with hunters being the exception here?
Well, I definitely feel, with a lot of vocal complaints from various classes, especially including elemental shamans, unless they have their personal cooldown, of course, which is a 3-minute CD,
mm-hmm.
It could probably be very bad. That was actually the deciding factor for me to turn from elemental to enhance on that ult, too, because I cannot stand not casting on the move. I can't imagine how it is for other classes, and I certainly get where Blizzard's coming from in that aspect, and it's always an awkward situation when a caster points a finger at me and is like, well, you can move. it's not our fault. You know, we do get our movement limited when we want to pick up focusing shots. So I kind of understand where people come from with that. But also there's still specs where you're able to cast off instants while you're moving and still pull off some pretty significant numbers. And I feel there's a trade-off where casters who do what they do standing still can perform very, very well single target. Mages right now are a good example of that. Arcane's making a comeback, and that's a good spec where you have to like still sit there and know what you're doing and just cast your heart out. But in the other aspect is if the fight requires a lot of movement, I can see them being lowered on the meters. So it's kind of a hit and miss. I don't really know how I can say comfortably, can a caster get more buffs in their movement? Sure. But too much, we're going to have a siege situation again where, I don't know, maybe Destrolocks are going to be destroying everything again. And mm-hmm. It's like, well.
Yeah, just to echo a little bit what Artemis Howell was saying, and I thought this was, sort of came out in the beta a little bit, that it was sort of sold as if, well, the idea was that the casters who aren't able to cast on the move, that their standing still DPS was going to be tuned to be, you know, higher than what we're getting out of hunters. And that was sort of like the you know, on the move they'd be weak, but in standstill situations they'd be just going crazy on the meters. And I don't know if it's worked out that way. And I know certainly there are a lot of fights that are just have lots and lots and lots of movement. So I certainly don't want to see hunters movement diminished any. I mean, it's fun and it's in a good place, and it's even getting to the point where it's a little bit painful to take focusing shot because you have to stand still to cast it and pick your spots. But like I said, what Artemis was saying, if they were to increase other classes' movement, then they probably have to tone down their DPS numbers just a little bit, because when they're standing still, they do pack quite a wallop.
Let me just say, hunters not only have to do all the, you know, more difficult, mechanically driven jobs in the raid, but we've also got to do it while drinking. And I feel like that is enough of a nerf that we don't really need anything else. So I'm good as it is.
Yeah, well, most of it's been said. I mean, it was very apparent when we were kind of being built up in the WoD beta that was going to be our niche, as you mentioned, and I think it quite obviously is. And there are many fights where we have specific duties, like Brackenspore, Margok on Mythic, we have quite a few. And I think there's going to be more to come, and I know there's a few in between there, but like you can slap a duty on a hunter, it sounds silly to say, an objective that they have to complete. And sometimes that will diminish their DPS, sometimes it won't. But overall, I think that is kind of how our class is built, so I can't really see like how we could tone it down without really redesigning things. So I mean, like Dark Brew said, I mean, it might come at a little bit of a loss of damage, which is unfortunate, but like even standing still, we're like one of the top three overall ranged DPS in the game right now, and then obviously for movement it's just about the same. Like Artemis said, it's about arcane mages and boomkins and maybe warlocks that'll show up at the top there in range, but that's about it. So yeah.
The most important question I could ask during this interview, and it's something that needs to be asked, and I hope you give a thoughtful and a very meaningful, insightful answer. Dark Brew, what is the best hunter pet for the DPS?
Well, of course, everybody knows that it's Spore Bat. Spore Bat is the mightiest pet ever made, and now and forever more.
Well, when you look at damage per cast per energy used, particularly in focus, what you have to understand is it's a Spore Bat, of course.
I really have to think about this. Give me a second. I'm pulling out my spreadsheets. Okay. According to the latest SimCraft modules for 6.0 and even 6.1, the rate of focus use per pet ability versus DPS gain over time, it's a Spore Bat.
And Solar, do I even need to ask?
All I'm going to say is they can make rogues bleed from a certain orifice, and it would be a Spore Bat.
Wait, but what about DKs?
They're already dead, man. Just give them a break.
Well, guys, I think that this conversation has hopefully given people kind of a taste of what they can expect to hear on the Hunting Party podcast. And in just a second, we're going to play a clip from one of the more recent episodes. Before that, though, I'd like to thank you all again for being on. And Dark Brew, could you tell people where, when, and how they can catch the Hunting Party podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. You can reach us. We record the shows every other Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern time, and that's twitch.tv/huntingpartypodcast. You can also check us out at huntingpartypodcast.com and get our episodes there. And we're on iTunes and all sorts of other places. And you can follow us on Twitter, and that's at huntingpartypod. And please, please give us a follow there. So that's how you can reach us.
Awesome. Well, once again, Dark Brew, Artemis, Solar, and Delirium, thank you very much for being on the show. Good luck in the next couple hundred episodes of the podcast to come. And we're going to go ahead and play a clip from one of the more recent episodes. Thanks for being on, guys.
Thanks for having us again.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Now, none of us are doing any kind of mythic rating, but I mean, have you guys rated much in BlackRock Foundry? So the new guild I joined, we've just focused on normal. Took a stab at heroic last week, but we decided we would maybe try and clear normal first and then get people to some of those tier bonuses and then plow through heroic. But I like it. I think it's a good raid so far. I like what I've seen so far.
Yeah, I've just done. Go ahead.
I've had fun. We've cleared through, I don't know how much of heroic. It's been going a good bit slower than we had anticipated, but I run into a couple of roadblocks. I think there are a lot of fights here that are a lot less based on, you know, how much DPS can you pump out really quick, and a lot more based on, you know, everybody staying alive and actually doing the mechanics, which is probably a good thing in general, especially for hunters, as we thrive under those situations, but also kind of forcing everyone to play the game and not just tunnel. So I'm enjoying most of the encounters so far that we've seen. And, yeah, it's, some of them are a little silly. Some of them are more, intense. So it's been a good time.
Yeah, I've enjoyed them too. I've only done normals as well, but, I think they're pretty nice. Did any of you guys suffer from that? There's all these people talking about having motion sickness on Hans and Franz. Have you guys seen any of that?
No, no. We killed Hans and Franz last night and it was just, getting out of plates. I didn't notice if there was any motion sickness.
Honestly, like I said, I haven't done them on heroic. We just did them on normal, but no issues whatsoever. In fact, it's a very easy fight on normal, I find. Very rarely do we go in there and have a one shot where the first look of a boss, we go and kill it. And Hans and Franz was that one for us on normal. So, but I never had any issues with motion sickness. I don't know if it's because, you know, I had to do those conveyor belts on Siege Master and Siege of Orgrimmar, but, no, I mean, that was just a fun fight. I really, really enjoy that fight more than I thought I would.
Thanks again to the Hunting Party podcast for being on the show this week. The full interview will be up in a few days at realm-maintenance.com. There's a few new podcasts out there, so let's get to that and more in this week's Blizzard podcast news. The first new podcast to introduce to you is the Evangelism Podcast, which is described by its host Evlix as a podcast all about the world of Warcraft seen through the eyes of an old Englishman who plays a priest, or rather nine priests, raids, and likes to talk about the things that he loves and loathes about the game. The first few episodes are available on iTunes or at podcast.evlix.co.uk, and you can spell Evlix E-V-L-Y-X-X. The Darkmoon Fair may be gone for the month, but the fun continues with a double dose of the Darkmoon Herald. Episodes 84 and 85 were posted last week on iTunes, Stitcher, and DarkmoonHerald.com, so be sure to download them both to hear Battle Pet Master Leo Pleurodon and a special Love is in the Air-themed show. On the Hearthstone side of things, there's an old show and a new show to fill you in on. The Happy Hearthstone returns to your podcast feed from a two-month hiatus with an episode focused on a Mech Paladin deck. The Happy Hearthstone can be found at GameDiplomat.com. The newest Hearthstone podcast has actually been around for a few months, but I just recently learned about it thanks to the Hearthstone calendar website. It's called The Golden Wisp, and this show has a focus on the competitive aspect of the game, often covering recent major esports tournaments along with a recent metagame on the ladder. Listen to Hunter and Alec on the show that loves everyone's favorite zero-cost minion at GoldenWisp.posthaven.com or on iTunes and Stitcher. Follow the Golden Wisp on Twitter at GW Podcast. Since I'm talking about Hearthstone podcasts, I also want to give a quick congrats to Rodney and Juice from the Hearthcore Podcast on recording its 25th episode. You can check them out at hearthcorepodcast.com. Katie and Eric are all about stamina in episode 101 of 30 Minute Cooldown, where they talk about the epic post on the official forums that has some really good observations and ideas, plus patch notes, shadows, torches, fish, frost, and much more. Get the 101 on iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook, and at 30minutecooldown.com. Another new show just getting underway is the Epic Fail podcast. Epic Fail is so new that it doesn't have a dedicated website just yet, but episode 0 was recorded and posted last week. For the time being, I suggest following at @podcastepicfail on Twitter and check their feed to find links to their pilot episode and to get to know more about the hosts of this new WoW podcast. I also have a link to their YouTube channel on the Realm Maintenance podcast directory page. Speaking of which, the podcast livestream guide on the site has been a little neglected the past couple months, but if you check it out now, you'll find a number of updates have been made. Among them, the Nexus podcast now records on Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time at twitch.tv/heroesofthenexus. A new episode of the Lawkey Journals has just been posted. This week, Edgar is involved in the mystery of a peaceful Draenei town that isn't all what it seems. The voice talents of Mark Honan from Torrent Think Tank can be heard on this radio drama set in the World of Warcraft, which you can find on iTunes, Stitcher, and be sure to follow the Lawkey Journals at LH Journals for further updates. Group Quest is back as they talk about the Warcraft movie, the Skull of Gul'dan, Naxxonations, and more in the show titled The Brotherhood of the Skull of Gul'dan, which can be found at thegroupquest.com. This week on Girls Gone Plague, I mean Girls Gone WoW, the girls and their pets, it seems, have all been sick this week, but Raven and EJ managed to recover enough to discuss all things Garrison with guest Trey. And who's that voice they've not heard for a while? Find out on iTunes or at www.girlsgonewild.net. Follow this podcast on Twitter at @GGWShow. On episode 7 of Casual to Raider, Asimi, Nate, and Mudala talk about how to prep your gear for raiding. They also go over the details of LFR Blackrock Foundry Wing 1, and they're going to tell you how they're going to do their first giveaway. Learn more on iTunes, Stitcher, or casual2raider.podbean.com, using the number 2 there. If you've been following the Edge podcast, you know that they recently switched over to the D20 Crit Catalyst Network. With these changes have come a reboot of sorts for the show, and you can check out the new episode 1 on iTunes or Stitcher or at d20crit.com. The Edge records at 8 p.m. Eastern Time at twitch.tv/TheEdgePodcast. This also means some changes to contacting the show, of course. You can now follow The Edge on Twitter at @TheEdge_podcast or email the show at connectwiththeedge@gmail.com. And that's your podcast. Sorry, Murlocs. How could I possibly forget? And finally, congratulations to Ben and John at Azeroth Roundtable, who will be recording episode 100 this Friday night at twitch.tv/AzerothRT. Follow at AzerothRT on Twitter to find out more about this milestone show as it's announced. And that's your podcast news. I'll be back with some final words and wrap up the show after we find out what's happening on the next episode of Battle Pets.
And I'm Ben the Mage. Okay, Aludra, I told you, there is no way that I'm riding that thing.
But Ben! It looks so good with the new pet, and you worked so hard to get it.
No.
Please, look at the face. Your new baby, he wants to hang out with his mommy. Why are you tearing this family apart, Ben? Why?
No.
Come on, if you do, I won't sing the Moon song this week.
Done and done. Okay, see ya.
Okay, everybody. While Ben rides off on his pretty pink lovebird, make sure to check out episode 60 of Battle Pets, Birds Gone Wild, where we talk about boss battles, zone spotlights, and read some of the mail.
Aludra, help! This thing is swiftly striding in a loving manner.
Oh my god, Ben, you can't see the other family from my shoe!
Whether it's listening to podcasts, watching Twitter, or just even taking a look at guild chat from time to time, I occasionally hear or see some frustration with how people are performing when it comes to raiding in WoW, or their woes in Arena and Hearthstone, which are two things I can relate to pretty well. Now, I'm no high-end raider, I'm definitely not an Arena legend like Amaz or Trump, but I want to share some advice with you that was given to me early on in Wrath of the Lich King by an old fellow raider named Blackwind, and he called it AAA advice. The first A in AAA advice stands for ask. Ask others for help and advice. Don't be too proud to seek assistance from people who are performing better than you are. Even the best players started somewhere, and their experience and the experiences of their peers helped improve their game. Now, in my offline life, when I'm training people at work, I always say there is no such thing as a stupid question, and really that applies even more so to gaming as well. This is not a job, this is something we do to have fun and enjoy ourselves. So if you want to be better and have more fun at the game, ask questions, it's going to help. And yes, I know some people may react in a negative way when you ask for help, because not everyone feels there's no such thing as a stupid question. I'm not saying it's always going to be easy, but I feel confident that if you play with like-minded people, you're going to find those that are willing to help. The second A originally stood for add-ons, though I'm going to say for the sake of this episode, we'll say it stands for apps. Of course, add-ons in WoW can go a long way to improving your user interface, making it more streamlined, giving you more information, so on and so forth, though there is definitely such a thing as having too many add-ons, in my opinion. But in addition to add-ons for WoW, there are web-based applications for Hearthstone and WoW that can help you improve in both games. Now for Hearthstone, if you're playing Arena, I recommend two sites. The first is hearthpwn.com, and that's hearthpwn.com if you haven't been there. And specifically, check out the Arena Simulator tool there. By running the Arena Simulator, this allows you to build a mock arena deck and kind of refine your skill of picking the right cards for a run without spending 150 gold or $1.99 on it in-game. To go along with this practice, I also suggest using hearthArena.com. After you register there, you can use Hearth Arena to enter the cards you can choose from during an arena run, or while you're using hearthpwn.com simulator, and Hearth Arena will tell you what their recommended pick is based on the value of the cards you have and the previous picks you've made. Now used together, this is going to let you do practice arena drafts, and it's going to help teach you when to take one card over another while building a deck with a balanced curve, which is not always the easiest thing in the world to do. What I tend to do is look at the three cards I have to choose from, ask myself which one would I pick before asking Hearth Arena. Then I'll make that decision, check it on Hearth Arena, and see whether they agreed with me or not, and it's actually been very helpful. For rating in WoW, the name Ask Mr. Robot should be pretty familiar to many of you, especially back in the golden days of reforging in Mists of Pandaria. Nowadays, AMR helps players by taking their uploaded combat logs, breaking down all the info, and presenting it with some pretty neat infographics that have relevant information that can be specific to certain encounters. Now, I plan to have Zupercat from AMR on the show in the very near future to talk more about the latest developments on their site, but you can also listen to her right now on recent episodes of Azeroth Roundtable, All Things Azeroth, Twisted Nether Blogcast, and a few others. I believe she's going to be on the Meeting Stone, and a couple others more. I talked to her just the other day, and there was a whole list of them. So you'll be hearing a lot of her on the podcast scene lately. So yeah, definitely check those out. But AskMrRobot.com is where you want to go to not just find out if your DPS is the best in the world, or the best in your raid, but also find out just how much fire are you standing in, and how much stuff can you avoid, and how much can you do to improve your game. And I'm really pleased with the changes that have been going on there. The third and final A of Blackwind's AAA advice is the most important one, and honestly, it's really one that I struggle with often. I struggled with it last night in raid, as a matter of fact, and that's attitude. Whether it's a raid or an arena run or any kind of game or sport, if you go in with a bad attitude, it's likely not going to help your performance. If a raid wipes, that's okay. If you get bad RNG on that knife juggler, or if your opponent ruins your day with a YOLO Ragnaros to the face in Hearthstone, it's not the end of the world. Be confident, play these games because you want to have a fun time, and don't be shaken by a loss or a wipe. It's merely a setback, as Kael'thas would say, and progress is just around the corner, especially if you ask others, and where possible, use add-ons or apps to give you more information. I know many of you may feel that a lot of this is common sense, but The way I see it, if people are still out there venting their frustrations over their spec being underpowered, or their bad luck in Hearthstone, then I think there's still people who can benefit from this advice. And of course, as always, while I may not be an expert myself, I welcome any and all questions you may have about WoW, Hearthstone, or any other Blizzard game, or, well, anything really. If I don't have the answer, maybe I can direct you to someone who can get it to you. And that sound means your update is complete. It's time to press the play button and press forward into Blackrock Foundry Raid Finder. 90 elemental runes down, and way, way too many to go. As always, let me know what you think of the show on iTunes or Stitcher. I wanted to give a quick shout out to fellow FERT raid members Alakaz and Orzrin on their newborn baby girl. And I know that I won't be seeing a whole lot of them in raid, but I hope that everything is going great with their new epic drop. If you'd like to help support what I'm doing here on Realm Maintenance, you can go to patreon.com/realmpodcast and you can pledge as little as $1 a month, or you can donate to the show using the PayPal button at realm-maintenance.com. 100% of the money the show receives takes care of hosting costs, post-production, and future giveaways. By the way, stay tuned next week for a new giveaway. Realm-maintenance.com is also where to go to find the weekly podcast roundup or sign up for the RSS feed. If you're a podcaster and have news about your show or a promo to send in, or if you're a listener with questions about WoW or WoW podcasts, send those emails to realmpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Realm Podcast, or follow myself at Rowow, spelled R-H-O-W-O-W. Next week, Anne Stickney returns to the show to talk about the Blizzard Watch podcast and the past few eventful weeks for the crowdfunded fan site. Until then, I've been Ro, you've been you, and Realm Maintenance has been completed. This podcast has been a presentation of Realm Maintenance Productions, copyright 2015, and is distributed by Signals Media. You can find this show and other great podcasts at signalsmedia.com. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks again to Dark Brew, Artemis, Solar Flare, and Delirium for being on the show this week. Thanks to everyone in the Blizzard podcast community for the retweets and for getting the word out about the show. And thanks to you for listening.
This podcast is a part of the Signals Media All-Star Network. For more information on this and other fine shows, go to signalsmedia.com. It's okay to stick our stuff in your ears.
Really?